Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden. Come dine with me.
Come in, both of you. Take a seat.
Thank you
for inviting us into school, Miss Braithwaite. We really do appreciate the diligence with which you've looked after Thomas. His physical and emotional well-being is, of course, the priority. And to know that he's cared for by such a dedicated educationalist, it offers genuine reassurance.
I'm sorry, who are you?
I'm Thomas's mother, Claire Barker.
Oh, so who was the lady?
That was Gnarly, our au pair.
Gnarly?
Yes, she's come with me to school on several occasions.
Nobody told me.
Well, you were busy.
What occasions?
School fair, parents' evening, Christmas play.
It was a Christmas play? Nobody told me.
Well, you were busy. Gnarly'd rehearsed with him and gone through his lines, helped him conquer his crushing stage fright. Thomas wanted her there.
No, I would have done those things. Nobody told me.
You were busy. At the time, Thomas was, emotionally dependent on Gnarly. It was just after he had to be rushed to the hospital.
To hospital?
Sorry, but can we just get back to the reason we're all here? Thank you. This school has always prided itself on its robust anti-bullying programme. We feel that...
Can I stop you there? Because I'm a little bit of an expert in this field. I strongly believe that bullying damages both the victim and the perpetrator. I would be deeply unsettled if you focus all your attentions on Thomas's needs. I insist that you also address those of the poor, troubled, emotionally inarticulate child who can only find expression through violence.
Miss Barker...
Who knows what psychological turmoil poor child X, as we shall call him slash her, is going through?
Miss Barker...
Who can guess at the levels of neglect he slash she endures at home?
Ms. Barker...
How can we blame child X for his slash her behaviour if he slash she receives no guidance from his parents slash carers, who themselves probably received no...
Shall I tell her or will you?
I'll tell her.
Tell me what?
Thomas is the bully.
And you knew this?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
It's just a stab in the dark, but I'm guessing you were busy.
I don't think I like your attitude.
Miss Barker, many parents become defensive when they hear that their children have been involved in bullying.
I am not defensive, Ms. Braithwaite. I am simply behaving in a manner appropriate to an experienced care professional.
If we may stick to the point, I'm a bit pressed for time.
Oh, I'm sorry, why is that? Do you have another holiday to go on?
Perhaps Thomas was being bullied first and reacted.
Yes. That's it. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he was being teased for his clothes that Gnarly made for him. I mean, how many other kids at school wear crocheted lederhosen?
Miss Braithwaite, are you sure this isn't just a case of, rough and tumble?
I do not regard holding someone in a half Nelson until their face goes purple as rough and tumble.
Thomas did that to a classmate.
Thomas did that to me.
Oh, I see.
May I just please ask you two questions? First, has there been any change in your domestic situation? And second, has somebody been teaching Thomas wrestling holds?
I'd have to say yes and yes.
It's Gnarly. She's very keen on Thomas being able to look after himself in the aftermath of a nuclear apocalypse.
I'll tell you what flagged up my concerns for Thomas. It was the work he was producing in class. Look at this.
Oh, Brian, look, Thomas is writing poetry. My daddy sleeps on the sofa. My mummy sleeps in a bed. My mummy wears the trousers. At least that's what daddy said.
No, I never said that. Not in those words.
That is unacceptably sexist. Brian, pig! Well, you know what? It looks like we've found the source of Thomas's untrammelled male aggression.
Well, I think it's probably a little bit more complicated than that. You've said that there have been major changes going on at home.
Hardly major. I mean, not really. I mean, yes, we have split up as a couple, and yes, Brian has moved out of the family home, but nothing major.
Hi, Leonard. I'm home. Sorry I'm a bit late.
No problem, Brian. I put your vegetable curry in the oven.
Actually, I'm not sure if I fancy curry yet.
Wednesday night is curry night, I did tell you.
So you did.
How was your day, darling?
Darling?
Oh, sorry, Brian. I can't believe I did that. Force of habit. Every evening for 15 years, I would greet Maud with a cheery, how was your day, darling?
No need to apologise, Leonard. We both know what it's like to split up with our wives.
If I do call you darling occasionally, just ignore it.
No problem, Leonard. Actually, Leonard, I wonder if I could talk to you about the bed in my room.
Top of the range bed, that is, Brian. orthopedically designed to support the spine. If you can't sleep there, you can't sleep anywhere.
Yes, it's not so much the bed as the plastic sheeting wrapped around it.
Well, that was the deal, Brian. I thought we had an understanding. Nothing in this house changes. Everything stays exactly the same as it was the day Maud left me. And it'll remain that way until the day she comes back.
Yes, I know, it's just that...
That's why the rent is so cheap.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, forget I said anything.
Forgotten already, darling. Oh, Brian.
Damn your eyes! May they burn and melt and roll down your fat cheeks!
Morning, Gnarly.
You stupid little nobody, you're nothing! I should tear your throat out, but I don't want to sully my hands on your scuzzy flesh.
Gnarly, if you're going to behave like this every time someone unfollows you, I am going to have to stop you using Twitter.
I am not in a good mood. I am suffering from hay fever, and it's all the fault of your fancy man, Howard, and all these flowers he keeps sending you.
Yeah, Howard is rather keen, isn't he? Tell you, Gnarly, there's nothing quite like the excitement of being pursued.
Like I don't know.
No, bears don't count.
My guess is that Howard would not have to pursue too hard.
Yeah, I think there's more than a chance I might let him catch me.
We have a saying in my village. If someone is easy to catch, something is easy to catch off them. This is a translation. It is more romantic in the original.
Tell you the truth, Gnarly, I do actually have my concerns.
Why, this Howard is smitten. Why else would he bombard your house with cards and flowers and chocolates?
Sorry, chocolates? Don't remember any chocolates.
Point is, he's crazy for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's so nice of you to say, Gnarly. Even if I am obliged, of course, to challenge your use of the word crazy, which many...
Yeah. Blah, blah, please. No more political correctness before it drives me bonkers mental crazy.
The thing is, I haven't seen Howard for 4 years.
Trust me, Claire, he loves you. He will not care that you have gone a bit wrinkly and grey.
Thank you, Gnarly. Yeah, it's 4 years and 3 weeks, if you include the dozen or so times we've arranged to meet up and not yet managed it.
Make him wait. He will love you more. Uncle Branka asked my aunt Malinka to marry him. She made him wait 40 years. She was in no hurry. She was quite happy living in the cottage by the river, smoking the pipe and playing golf with the roommate Anna, the unmarried school teacher.
I just want to meet Howard so that I know I've done the right thing. So I've given up everything for a man I hardly know.
So phone him!
No, he has to phone me. For as long as I don't phone him, I have control of the relationship.
Of course, that as you meant to go on.
Well, you know what? You certainly look very smart, Gnarly.
Of course. It is my first day in a new job. I confess, I am a little nervous.
No. You're going to be fine. If I didn't have faith in you, Gnarly, I wouldn't have put you up for it.
Oh, Claire, how can I ever thank you? I am so grateful. If you had not found me this job, I do not know how I would ever have afforded the exorbitant increase in rent that you have forced upon me.
Welcome.
I will not let you down. I will be the best part-time receptionist on a temporary contract pending a probationary period that Sparrowhawk Family Center has ever had.
Yeah, but just remember that you'll be working with the public, so the important things...
I know. Just be myself.
No, actually, Gnarly, I was going to suggest exactly the opposite.
How are you, Brian? How are the new dicks?
Yeah, not bad, Simon, not bad at all.
I'm really sorry I couldn't put you up at my place.
Not a problem, Simon.
It's just, I've never dated an entire women's rugby team before. Frankly, I need the space. You should come round sometime, join in the training, find out what it's like to have women throw themselves at you.
Maybe when I've settled in a bit more.
How are you getting on with your new landlord?
Well, that's the thing. Leonard has never really got over his wife leaving him. In fact, he's a bit obsessive about her.
That doesn't sound much fun.
No, it isn't. But I have managed to turn it to my advantage. The rent was dirt cheap anyway, but he's offered to lower it from £40 to £35 a week. And all I have to do in exchange is let him call me Maud.
He calls you Maud?
Yeah, only in the house, not when we go out, obviously.
You go out?
Yeah, just on Tuesdays. Tuesdays used to be Leonard and Maud's bowling night, you know. Well, that took the rent down to 30 quid.
That's it, Brian. I'm putting you up on the Z-bed in the living room. The girls will have to practice their scrums in the hallway.
Seriously, Simon, I'm fine. Leonard just needs some help adapting to his changed circumstances. And if it saves me some money, I don't mind doing it.
Hello, I have an appointment for 2 o'clock, Mrs. Scudimore.
No.
Yes, I do. In fact, I can see it there in your file. 2 o'clock, Mrs. Scudimore.
No.
I have an appointment, Mrs. Scudimore.
Okay, okay, you have an appointment.
So what's the problem?
You keep calling me Miss Scudimore. That is not my name.
That's me. I'm Mrs. Scudimore.
Well, why didn't you say?
Can I go through?
No.
Why not?
You're late. It's 1 minute past 2.
No, it isn't.
It is now. You'll have to make another appointment. Name?
Mrs. Scudimore.
There, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Now, please leave the reception area. You're taking up standing space that 3 other people could use.
You are the rudest woman I've ever met.
Thank you.
G'day, Nally. I just popped down to see how you're getting on, first day in the job and all that. Now, if there's anything that you need, don't hesitate to call upstairs. There'll always be somebody around to help you.
I'm sorry, I don't wish to appear rude, but are you speaking English?
It's me. I'm Libby. I'm your boss.
Oh, Libby, forgive me. I did not recognize you. In my country, the bosses are usually better dressed than the workforce.
You're a cheeky little bugger, aren't you? Now, do you know Helen? Helen Golightly.
I know Helen.
She should have been here by now. Have you seen her?
Yes, I see her. 40 minutes ago, in a hurry. She said she had to go quickly to the loo.
And?
I sent her home.
You what?
I refused her entrance. I asked her to leave.
Hang on, what had she done?
She placed an adverb between the marker to and the uninflected form of the verb, thereby splitting an infinitive. I tell you, Libby, I will not tolerate sloppy grammar in my family center.
Now, Paul, I have a set of cards with words printed on, words which describe different feelings. I call them my emotion cards. I'm going to throw them up in the air. There they go. And I want you to pick up the card that best expresses how you feel at the moment.
This one.
Ah, unhappy. That's good. So what is it, Paul, that's making you so unhappy?
Well, it's the cards all over the floor. I'm OCD and they've made a terrible mess.
Claire, could I have a word, please?
I'm actually with a client, Joan. Is it important?
Oh, yes, Claire. It's very, very important. It's very, very important indeed. In fact, it wouldn't be too far off the mark to say that this could be the defining moment of my existence.
Go! Get out! Go away! Out of my sight! Have a nice day.
Hey, Nally! What's going on?
Oh, hello, Libby. Welcome to my reception.
Why'd you send that woman away?
Troublemaker of the worst kind.
Hang on, what kind is that?
The kind that do not have the correct paperwork. She had not filled in her B452.
There's no such thing as a B452.
I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? It works every time.
No, wait, Nally, you have to...
No, please, Libby, no need for thanks. I am just doing my job.
See, that's the thing, Nally. You aren't doing your job. At least not the one we've employed you to do. And we've been getting complaints.
I'm sorry to be obtuse, Libby, but could you possibly explain my job description to me one more time?
By all means, Nally. You ready?
Ready.
Clients arrive at the family centre. You let them in.
No, that can't be right.
That's the job.
I let them in?
You let them in.
All of them?
That's right, Nally. We don't ask them for non-existent paperwork. We don't make them walk straight lines to prove they're not drunk. And we certainly don't operate a dress code.
I think you should. I mean, is there a law in this country that says women with fat arses must wear spandex? I think you social workers have enough on your plate without having to deal with bothersome clients, so I have let nobody through. Admit it, Libby, it has been a nice, quiet day.
Yeah, actually, I can't argue with that.
You're making a presentation?
That's right. To people.
Sorry, and that is the most significant event in your existence so far?
Oh, yes. By a long, 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 long way. This was Helen's gig, but she didn't show up for work. Now Libby says I've got to do it.
So you just make a speech?
Oh, I'm a bit nervous. More than a bit, actually. Ah, I can't feel my legs.
Then overcome your nerves. Speak out, Joan, loud and proud.
I don't know if I can.
Yes, you can. Suffragettes fought and died to give you a voice, Joan, but now you have one, you refuse to use it.
It's not that. My tongue is sticking to the roof of my mouth.
Listen, we're not living in a Jane Austen novel, Joan. Women no longer go around screaming, "Ooh, I'm going to have a fit of the vapours because I've got the wrong bonnet on." Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, Claire, even if you do show a total misunderstanding of Jane Austen, whose blistering satires on 19th century social and sexual mores has led many to regard her as a proto-feminist.
Listen, do you want my help or don't you?
Yes, please.
But the point I'm making is that I, Claire Barker, have no time for feeble women.
And why should you?
Well, you see, the thing is that I could do this presentation for you. They don't call me Bullet Point Barker for nothing.
Oh, thank you, Claire.
Yeah, but I won't.
Oh.
I could show you how to do the presentation.
Thank you, Claire.
But I won't.
Oh.
I could even...
Sorry to interrupt, Claire, but what are you going to do? It's just... I'm under a bit of pressure.
What I'm going to do, Joan, is I am going to empower you. I'm going to give you the confidence to stand up and be proud and announce to all the assembled... I am woman! And I am strong.
Great. But can you do it in the next 5 minutes? That's when I'm on.
OK, well, crash course. OK, first of all, let's get you relaxed with some stretches.
Better not, Claire. There's not a lot of giving these tights.
Come along, Joanie. Stretch up, up, and down. Stretch down. Stretch up and down. Shake out your arms, very long arms. Shake them out and just relax. OK, so how are you feeling?
I'm feeling loose.
That's good.
But not in the way you're thinking.
OK, so this is a technique that I've pioneered that I call laughter size. OK, because it's half laughter and half exercise.
Oh, that's very good, that, Claire. Did you make it up yourself?
Yes, I did. Do you want to have a go?
No.
Why not?
Last time I laughed, I couldn't stop for 7 months.
Oh, come on, Joan, you've got to free your voice.
There's no time. Here they come.
Okay, Joan. Desperate situations call for desperate remedies. The technique that I am about to share with you has been proven to work countless times, but it must be used with extreme caution. I call it SBN visualization.
Is that you, Maud?
Actually, I've not come through the door yet.
Sorry, Brian. Is that you, Maud?
Yes, it's me.
Oh, come along now. I don't want to be putting your rent back up.
Yes, it's me, Lenny Lollipop.
There. Didn't hurt, did it?
No, I suppose not.
So how would you like your steak?
Steak?
Oh, come along, Maud. Friday night is steak night.
Of course. Medium rare. I'll just go upstairs and get ready.
Brian.
Yes, Leonard?
Just wanted to say that you will never take the place of my Maud.
Oh, I know that, Leonard.
But you're getting pretty damn close.
It's cheerio. Thank you very much indeed.
Joan, how did it go?
Well, I stood up to speak and I just froze. Nothing would come out of my mouth. I was just about to panic when I suddenly remembered what you taught me and I decided to use SBN visualization.
And?
I looked out across the room at the audience and I imagined them all...
Stark bollock naked.
That's right. And it worked. Without clothes, they suddenly became less intimidating, almost vulnerable. Words just flowed from my mouth. It was a new Joan, a confident Joan, emerging like a butterfly.
I told you it would work.
It did, to a point. And then my eyes were drawn to a man in the front row. He was gorgeous and naked. I tell you, Claire, my imagination just started running riot. I just stood there, staring. Then I realised where I was. I tried to dress him, but every time I tried to put his clothes on, they just fell off again. I somehow finished the speech, at which point somebody helped me off the stage.
The point is, Joan, you did it.
Not only that, but it's the most fun I've had in years.
Oh, welcome to the world of strong women, Joan.
Self-possessed, independent women in control of their lives and their bodies and their futures. Women who acknowledge their emotions but refuse to be enthralled to them. Women who... Oh, sorry, excuse me. Hello? Harold! Tonight? Claire? Claire? What's wrong? Speak to me, Claire.
I can't retain stuckness.
How's your steak?
It's very tasty.
You look nice.
Thank you. I was wondering, Lenny Lollipop, if we could turn the heating on?
The problem is that Maud left in August when the heating wasn't on. And like I explained, I'm not going to change anything until she comes back.
Yes, but it's so cold in here, I'm freezing.
Oh, why didn't you say earlier, you silly goose? There are tons and tons of clothes upstairs that you could wear.
But you're tiny, Leonard. I never fit in your clothes.
Actually, Brian, I wasn't thinking of my clothes.
I'll get that. Oh, hello, Simon.
Hello, Brian.
Who is it, Maud?
It's just a friend.
I was wondering if you wanted to come for a pint.
I'd love to, Simon, but Friday night is steak night.
Hurry up, Maud. Your dinner is getting cold.
Some other time.
What's that you're wiping off your mouth?
It's ketchup.
Let me have a look. It's lipstick.
That's another £10 off the rent, Simon.
I'm worried about you, Brian. And frankly, that red's not your colour either. It's too obvious. You should go for a blush rose or something that complements your complexion.
I found them, Claire. I have the tweezers. Laughing so uproariously. Don't tell me you have been watching my Jim Davidson Boobs in the Wood DVD.
No, I'm trying to relax. In less than 2 hours' time, I shall finally be meeting Howard.
Don't fidget. I can't do this if you fidget.
Ew!
I'm so upset. The humiliation. I've never been sacked on the first day of a job before.
Ew!
Actually, that's not strictly true. When I was a teenager, I was sacked from my Saturday job in the abattoir. They caught me trying to smuggle offal out in my tights.
Ow! Will you, Gnarly, concentrate, please, on the job in hand?
I'm so sorry, Claire, but the tweezers are fighting a losing battle against your eyebrows. We need a lawnmower or a napalm.
Oh, forget it. I'm just going to present myself to Howard and say, here I am. Accept me as I am.
You don't think maybe you should have a plan B?
May I help you?
Yeah, I'm meeting Mr. Howard Leslie.
He is already here. Please follow me.
Howard, can I can find my own way. Thank you very much. Howard. Howard, let us not start with apologies and let us consign regrets to the dustbin. I have looked forward to this moment for so long. When I first met you all those years ago, I wanted you so badly, but I was with someone else, and so I let you go, and I thought I'd never see you again. But then you come back into my life with a phone call on the day of my wedding, which wasn't good timing, it has to be said. But I mean, is there ever a right time for love? I wasn't about to give you up again, and I decided I would rather live with the consequences than die with the regrets. I love you, Howard.
This is going to sound terribly rude, but I haven't the faintest idea who you are.
Claire.
Sorry?
We met 4 years ago at the Green Shoots Environmentally Friendly Playgroup. Don't you remember it?
No.
You were with your daughter, I was with my son, Thomas.
Thomas, the cheeky little chap with chestnut hair.
Yes, yes, you see, so you do remember me.
No.
So why have you been phoning me? You've been leaving me a message. You've been sending me gifts.
Have I?
Yes, you have. Look, that text, that's from you. And that text, that's from you.
You're not Claire Bennett.
No, I'm not Claire Bennett. I'm Claire Barker.
Oh, you see, Claire Bennett was the woman I thought I was asking out. An airline hostess I met on a flight from Lisbon to Gatwick, and we struck it off. She was giving me her details when the airplane hit turbulence and bounced us all around the toilet. I must have accidentally written her name above your address and phone number. Yes, yes, look, I have. That's what I've done.
Well, so where's my name?
It's there, but I seem to have crossed it out.
You've obliterated it.
Sorry if I've got your hopes up. Look, I tell you what I'll do. I'll try and track down Claire Bennett through her airline, and if there's no joy there, I'll give you a bell. I've got your number.
Come on, it's chocolate mousse. You said you like chocolate mousse.
I do. I like chocolate mousse a lot.
So what's the problem?
I want to feed myself.
But what about our arrangement?
Look, I have done everything you have asked of me, everything.
Okay. You feed me.
No!
£5 off.
Yeah, all right, give us that spoon. Oh, no noises. I'll get that. Claire!
Who is it this time?
It's Claire, my ex-wife.
No, Brian. Your wife.
What is this, Claire? What's going on?
Sorry if I hurt you, Brian, but the wedding just overwhelmed me and my love for you kind of became obscured by this whole patriarchal ownership ritual. I had to get away, you know, I had to put some distance between us so that I could see clearly how I truly felt about you. And the thing is that now I know. I love you, Brian. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. What is that that you're wearing?
It's a trouser suit. Go on.
Yeah, I was attracted to Howard, I must admit, but when I finally got to meet him and see him for the person that he was, rather than the freedom that he represented, there was no contest. I choose you, Brian. Please say you'll take me back.
What is the meaning of this, Maud?
Sorry, Maud?
I'll explain on the way home. Actually, Leonard, could you pass me my own shoes? I'll never be able to walk in these.
Please don't go. I'll lower the rent.
You can't lower the rent any further after pudding. I was living here for free.
I'll pay you.
Sorry, Leonard.
I thought you were different, Brian. But you're just like all the other Mauds.
Oh, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. Should we go home, Mr. Harris?
Yeah, let's go home.
Mrs. Harris?
No, except I'm not Mrs. Harris. Brian, and I will thank you not to call me it.
Yes, I was just...
You were just being an incorrigible sexist, Brian.
Hey!
I am Ms. Barker. You don't own me.
No, I didn't...
No, a marriage certificate isn't an ownership document, at least not anymore.
Right.
Wives took their husbands' names in exactly the same way that slaves were given the names of their owners.
Look, Claire,
I am flabbergasted by you, Brian. Really, I mean, it's the 21st century, yet Neanderthals like you still fighting to preserve the outmoded symbols of male oppression. It's ridiculous. You know, and there's another thing about you.
Right.
Yeah, that really...
Yes, well,
It does actually really irritate me.
Just at least
I want to talk.
Come on, Claire.
I want to talk.
Claire and the Community by Harry Benning and David Ramsden. Starring Sally Phillips, Alex Lowe, Nina Conti, Richard Lumsden, Andrew Wincott, Sarah Kendall, Sarah Tom and Carolyn Pickles. The producer was Alexandra Smith.